Carolyn.
And I'm Bethany.
And we are
Sisters in Song.
Another exciting interview tonight on Sisters in Song. We have Clark Hill joining us.
He just put out a new single this month called Hell of a Heartbeat. It's going to be fun to learn all about the song and his other upcoming music.
Yeah, he has a lot of projects in the works that we will have the pleasure to ask him all about. Here's a little more about Clark. Clark showed his musical gift early. As far back as second grade, he performed in talent shows and dressed as Elvis. He dyed his hair and everything, he confesses. In church, he sang with the children's choir and later was appointed to lead the praise band on Wednesday night services. For several years, just before Christmas, he performed at Disney World with the high school chorus.
Clark says, "It was funny because my main interests were football and weightlifting. I mean, I enjoyed music. I was a huge Vince Gill fan, and I love Johnny Cash and Hank Jr., but I never thought that music would have anything to do with my future." In some ways, Clark will acknowledge that things had come to him too easily. Growing up in northern Florida, on land his grandparents once called home, he worked on the family farm planting and harvesting corn, black-eyed peas, maybe some okra, and tomato plants. In school, he earned high grades almost without trying, following the footsteps his dad had made as a college football star. Clark played linebacker and then tight end on his high school football team, always as a starter, never experiencing a losing season. Shortly before graduating, he passed his exam as an EMT fireman. After earning his diploma, he went to work. Country's rising powerhouse, Clark Hill, kicks off 2026 with the release of his high-energy new single, Hell of a Heartbeat, released March 13th. Hell of a Heartbeat marks the start of a nonstop 2026 rollout, with Hill delivering a steady stream of fresh, high-energy tracks to keep fans on their feet.
Hell of a Heartbeat is a high-energy, emotionally grounded country anthem that captures the rush of finding a love that hits harder than fear, doubt, or the past. From the opening bars, steady drums and rhythmic guitar establish undeniable momentum, urgent but controlled, while Hill's conversational vocal pulls listeners into the story, building toward a massive chorus layered with stacked harmonies, expanded instrumentalism, and a melody designed to linger long after the final notes fade.
The release follows the viral success of Hill's 2025 hit One Beer, which earned media support from Local On 2, Today in Nashville, and WSM, the Grand Ole Opry Radio. Recorded at East Avalon Studios in Muscle Shoals, One Beer helped cement Hill as one of country's most exciting independent voices and fueled the string of packed-out live performances.
Hey musicians, are you looking for quality live show photos to highlight your work? Look no further than Summer Lee. Summer specializes in concert photography and she's booking now in the Chicago and Nashville areas. She also travels and is tour ready. Find her on Instagram at summerlee.photo or Facebook at Summer Lee Photo. Hit her up on DM for rates and availability. Summer shot for us at Americana Fest last September and we can guarantee that she is the real deal and a true professional.
Welcome to Sisters in Song. Can you take a minute and introduce yourself and tell us where you're coming to us from tonight?
Hey, everybody. I am Clark Hill. Tonight, I am in Florida. So I feel like every night I'm somewhere different, so I always have to remember where I'm at.
I bet. That's hard. Like when you're on stage and you go, ooh, where am I again?
Yeah, I'm definitely one of those guys that have to ask somebody before I say something. I'm always looking at my tour manager being like, where are we at again?
Florida. Yeah, that's gotta be hard though. I mean, you're in a different city almost every night, so it would be tough. But
are you currently on tour?
So yes and no, if that makes any sense. Like, I mean, we're in a phase right now where it's more music based and more media based, which I enjoy. I enjoy this part. Like what we're doing right now is actually probably one of my favorite parts. So we have dates that we're kind of bouncing around, but we don't have anything like fully launched right now. We're going to kind of see how the second part of the year turns out. We've got a lot of releases scheduled, so we've been leaning really heavily into that right now.
Very cool. Can you tell us more about releases and all of
that? We know you just had one just come out not very, like a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, that one's, I think a week ago. Is today Friday? No, today's Wednesday. So a week and a half ago.
Today's actually Thursday, Clark.
Yeah. Oh, it is Thursday. Yes. Oh my gosh.
It's Wednesday. No,
I'm like, what in the world? I'm like, I'm so mixed up.
Just kidding.
Obviously.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It's a week and a half ago, and it is titled
Hell of a Heartbeat. And I actually just found out today that it's the only, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I do that.
You're good. Cool.
I just found out today that it's actually the only song with that name on all of streaming.
Very
so
cool.
So I'm like, maybe we just need to put up a billboard like in every city that just says Hell of a Heartbeat and let people go search it or something and see what happens.
Hashtag. That's cool. That makes it so easy to find too. So listener, yeah.
Yep.
Check it out.
That's right.
Yes, please.
What inspired the song?
So it was like we were in the studio of Muscle Shoals, which was like a big dream of mine. And I took two songwriter friends that are also artists, two very successful guys. And one of them I'm really, really close with. The other one I'm close with now, but I met him that week in the studio. And we just wanted to put out a different, not like I hate to use the word vibe, although I use vibe all the time, but like we wanted to have a different experience. Like I'm very experience oriented. And I wanted to kind of tap into the experience of the studio. And I know you asked specifically about the song, but I want to tell you a little bit about the studio experience, because what was so cool and scary at the same time was I had a little bit of like, I hate to use the word complaint, but like I had a little bit of complaint with how I was recording my music. And I was going to Nashville for years and recording, and I love it. And I still like, we still finish all of this in Nashville. So it's not the people. It was just like something wasn't connecting with me. It was very cookie cutter. And again, that wasn't directed at the people. Those same people are still who worked on this album. It's just something about it wasn't right. And I'd had the dream of being in Muscle Shoals my whole life because I'm a North Florida boy and I'm a big Southern rock lover. And something about Muscle Shoals just kind of spoke to the spirit. And we went down and we rented a studio for 3 days and we brought in the writers. And I had songs prepared too, but we brought in writers and I'm like, I just want to be as organic as possible. And I don't mean like social media organic or media organic. I actually really want to be organic. Let's cook here. Let's drink here. Let's sleep here. Cause the studio had rooms and we took our coach down and like, we just had this 3 day experience between all of us. And I took some of my live guys that are like my brother-in-law's, my main guitar player. And he's basically the reason why I even started. So like, we wanted to have this experience of like molding studio guys and my live guys, because my live experience is so unique. And so when we're writing, that was a big like emphasis on conversation, was like, I want stuff that feels like what I do live, because the deeper I get into Nashville and the more networked I get, there's definitely a disconnect between getting my brand where my live show is. Once people are seeing the live show, like even industry folks, they're just like, oh my God. And I could not figure out how to do that in the studio. So long story short, that song, Hell of a Heartbeat, was the first song that we wrote out of that vibe, where we're just like, we just want to connect to how it feels, songs that I grew up on, songs that I listened to. And then I'm a super like philosophical, very spiritual guy. So I always have a lot of serious songs, which I still love. I'm still going to have serious songs. But I wanted to be a little bit more tongue in cheek and playful. So we wrote like a little love story that was kind of like all three of us just sitting around and being like playful. Like, well, what if the girl was like this? And what if I was like this? And we were like, let's do it. And it just was so fun. We were like, okay, well, that's going to be a good release. And we chose that because of that, really.
Very cool.
Love hearing the backstory. That's
me
so fun.
Too. And the cool like studio yes. experience too.
Yeah.
So let's go back to the beginning. How did yeah. you get started in this field? What made you want to be a career musician?
So I tell this story a lot. I'll probably tell this the rest of my career, the rest of my life. I always leave with the same phrase. I feel like I'm like media trained in this, even though I'm not. It really does sound like it was written for like a movie. Okay. I was 28 years old. I had been married at that time for almost 10 years. And my ex-wife and I still to this day love her to death. Like, she's an amazing person. I think we were just really young. She was a little older than me, but I was super young and immature and had been through a lot. I was a very young dad and then went through a bunch of stuff in my teen years still that just kind of set me up on the back side of being an adult. And we had a really hard marriage, but a really loving marriage too, but really hard. And one of our struggles was just that we kept kind of on again, off again, like our entire marriage. So she was struggling with wanting to be with her family. And then, you know, we would kiss and make up, no pun intended, and then just kind of get through it. Well, in that year she left and it was on my birthday and I had a wisdom tooth removed and they broke my jaw. And, like literally except for my dog dying, it was a country song, right? It was everything went wrong. And so I'm at home, and I have a big family property. A lot of my family lives all around those 20 acres. And my brother-in-law, who had just married my sister, was in a band, like a cover band out of Jacksonville, Florida. Really amazing band, by the way. Super cool, like the band you want at like a wedding or the biggest party, right? And he comes to my like next door. So when I say he came to my house, he walked like 100 yards, right? And he comes over to the house, and he and I didn't know each other well then. We just hadn't really, we knew each other, but we weren't close. Like we are like now, that's my brother, you know, like there's like, he's my brother almost before my sister were that close. But he comes over and he's just like, okay, dude, I can't watch you like this. Cause I'm like sitting in my lazy boy in a double wide crying, you know, and I've got my two kids there, and they're preteens at that time. And they're just like, they're upset. The dad's upset. And like, it's just, it's rough. And he's like, hey, I'm not letting this happen. You're going to go out with me tonight. And at that point in my life, like I was, I'd just been through so much and so many different influences and negative influences that I never went to bars. I didn't drink. I wasn't doing any of those things. And so the idea of going to a bar, I'm like, no, nothing about that sounds fun. So then my sister come over, and my sister's like, my sister's almost like a mom. Although my mom and I are really, really close, my sister's like, no, like get your butt up. Let's go. And so we went out to a place called Dirty Bar in Gainesville, Florida, and I played with their band, and my brother-in-law just handed me, he knew I played in church and stuff, and he just hands me his guitar, and he's like, listen, just play. He's like, watch my hands all night, just play whatever I play, whether you know the song or not. And I said, okay. And I obviously, like most people do, I caught the bug, and I just had a blast that night, and I smiled more than I remembered smiling in years. And so as the story progressed, you know, my wife and I at that time stayed separated for about 8 months that time. And that's when Clark Hill basically was born. And my parents were watching the kids on weekends for me to go out with Mike and Tisha, my brother-in-law and sister. And my sister would go out with us, and we would go to these bars, and we would play with that band. And my brother-in-law was like, man, you should write some songs. Like, cause we'd be driving home at 3 o'clock in the morning. He's like, man, you're such a good storyteller. You're such this, like, you should write some of your life. And I'm like, okay. And so I wrote like a sad song about like my papa passing away or something. And I would start playing those songs in between their breaks. And we're like, wow, man, this is really cool. And he would stay up on stage, and it'd be just me and him. And then we noticed about 2 or 3 months into that people started coming out to that band shows, and they were coming out to see my set of like three songs, you know? And that was basically the start of, you know, me in my Clark Hill adventures. And, then I don't know how familiar you guys are or aren't, or how familiar the fans will be, but anybody that's ever been to CMA Fest and knows how crazy CMA Fest is. My first trip to Nashville as an adult was CMA Fest that year.
Oh wow.
And I was like, I'm going to Nashville, and I'm going to go get a record deal. And I had no clue what CMA Fest was. I wasn't super into country music. It's not that I didn't love it. I have a lot of country music background. It wasn't what I was doing at the time. And so I had no clue what CMA Fest was. I had no clue that I would get kicked out of every major record label office on Music Row. I had none of that. And then the stubborn me kind of came out, and I just kept kicking sticks, and you can skip ahead in the story, and I just kind of never let off of it. There's been a bunch of no really back and forth in my life, but there's been a bunch of things I've had to overcome that would kind of set it back or put it on a side burner for a little while. And it was kind of God just, I think, growing me and molding me to where I really feel like I finally am where I'm supposed to be. You know, I've been doing Clark Hill now for over 10 years, and I love everything about it. It's had its hard moments. We've had some amazing successes. But that day and on my birthday, literally in a double vibe with a broken jaw and my wife just left, was what started it all.
Gosh. That is such an amazing story. I can't believe you broke your jaw, Dennis. I want to cry.
And it's today, and I'm like,
yeah. Oh,
what? You're right. That story, no one can take away from you. Right. That is your story.
Yeah.
It's so poignant to your becoming, you know, mm-hmm. a musician, yep. and having this as a career, which is
well, fantastic. And I'm sure so much of that goes into your songwriting.
Too, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It does, because like my thing is, like I alluded to earlier, like I'm very spiritual, and my belief is like evolved as I'm getting older. I turned 40 in January, and I'm like, I was so excited to turn 40, and everybody laughs, but I'm like, I was an adult before I was an adult. So it's like I was excited to kind of reach that pinnacle, like as a male, like I was raised this alpha male athlete and my dad was a law enforcement officer and was like really mean and rough around the edges. And I was always raised like, hey, you know, one day you're going to become a man kind of mentality. So you had this like ticker of 40 years old is like that point that you can really take off in life. And I'm also, like I said earlier, I'm really into like anything philosophical and you pay attention to historical people in general, specifically males. There's like a point in their life where they start to figure everything out. And when they do is like normally when success ultimately comes. And so for me, 40 was like a benchmark, was like, if I can make it to 40, then I'm going to have an opportunity to really take everything I've learned in the first 40 years and do something with it. And so like, I basically was like, okay, what am I doing with this now? Is it just the songs or is it something deeper? And I think I'm getting to that point where I just realize it's a lot more deeper. It's probably a lot more deeper. It's going to get picked on, by the way. It's probably not the way to say it, but I want to be something. I want to be important to people. I'm always seeking validations. That's why I work as an entertainer. But the cool thing for me is it's not just music at all. It's things like this. And I'm not just saying that to you guys. Like it's moments to share a story. Sometimes it's to relieve the story off of my chest and my heart. And other times it's because maybe somebody else needed to hear.
Yep.
You know, that I've went through something that they're going through or that they've went through and that you want to pick them up from it. And it's funny, like I said, I'm a little rough around the edges at times and I still find myself wanting to encourage others to believe in themselves, to dream bigger than anything, to not follow the status quo, to break down barriers, to change labels, just to do something so that when we're gone, we have something that lives past our time, basically.
Well, and that's why we do this, because we love to hear your stories. We love to see people just going out there and living their dreams. That's the best part of hearing all of what you guys do. And I know that's the same for our listeners. They hear people coming from all over the United States and outside of the United States and what they're doing. And they think, I can do it too. Yep. So we thank you for sharing.
We do.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for giving me an opportunity to.
Yeah.
We have to take a minute to thank our sponsor, Brought Farm Designs. Brought Farm Designs offers the most adorable, handmade, washable, durable cat and dog bandanas and collar scrunchies. Our dogs look absolutely ravishing in theirs. Don't you want your dogs and cats to look as cool as ours? The coolest thing is that they hook onto the collar so you don't have to worry about them falling off or worry about them ending up in someone's mouth. They are perfect and they are adorable. Did I say they're adorable? Go to BF Designs 7. That's BFDESIGNS 7 on Instagram and send them a message and save 10% off your first order with the code Sisters in Song. Our dogs wholeheartedly approve.
So I want to ask you just a little bit about songwriting. How do you see a song like start to finish? Do you start with melody, lyrics? How does that work for you?
So I actually love this question because I give a horrible answer for this question. It is different every time. Just like, so my PR team picks on me that every interview is different and they love it and it scares them, right? So it works because my interviews are memorable, but my songwriting is the same way. I think it's just my personality trait is it's different for every song. It's different for every moment. There are times where I get a melody stuck in my head and I pick up a guitar and I'm just kind of messing around with it and it turns into a song. There's other times where I just have like, you know, hundreds, if not thousands of notes of things that, you know, 5 years later, I'm like, oh my gosh, I should turn that into a song. And more so recently than ever, because I'm just now, I'm kind of ashamed to say I'm just now pushing into the co-writing world. And it wasn't, it was very organic how I wasn't. I just didn't know that that's what I should be doing. I am really good at making friends and acquaintances, and I have a very, very, very good and successful network in this business and probably many other businesses, but I normally don't ask for things. I just kind of fall into where I'm going to be or where God puts me. And so I wasn't tapping into that songwriting network. I was just kind of doing it all on my own. And then when I made my little, like, quote unquote, comeback, which we can talk about later if you want to ask or we don't have to. But when I got back, I was like, man, I need to be writing more with people that know how to write, because I don't really feel like I know how to write. I just kind of do. So to answer your question, I mean, I don't know. I think sometimes it's melody based, sometimes it's lyrical based. I think the only thing that's consistent is even a fun, like, Hell of a Heartbeat. even a fun, like, tongue-in-cheek song still kind of has to pass the test of, did I live it? Did I wish I lived it? Or is it something that's very relatable, which kind of probably falls into that I wish I lived it mentality, yeah. Right? And that's important to me because I just know, you know, like, songs last forever, especially in today's world, right? And I have enough against, like, I have enough against me that I don't need to add more to it as I get older. So my thing is any song I put out or any song I ever write, I want to be able to be proud that I wrote it. And I think that's the only true consistency. Everything else is a very, like, all the releases this year are a great example. They're all different sounds. I mean, they're very identifiable. You're going to know it's me immediately. And my goal in my career as it continues to grow is that you kind of get used to that mentality of, like, you'll find something, and it may not even be me. It may be someone else somewhere one day figures out, like, you know what? I know every time it's a Clark Hill song, I'm going to hear this. But right now, like, it's all over the board. And I was very purposeful with that this year, this last year, creating music that way, where I wanted to tap into everything that I've experienced at this point in my life and do it that way so that it was more relatable. Because I feel like all of us, even the truest country music fan in the world, has other music and other songs that they like, or maybe that they wish they liked, or that they wish they lived. And that's kind of my biggest goal with songwriting.
I like that, being genuine. I mean, is what I hear you saying, like, I'm being genuine to who you are as a person and telling the story, or, like you said, a story that you would want to
and live. Proud of, yes. and proud of putting out what you're doing. Yep. Okay. Now you've made us curious. Yep. I want to know about the comeback. Tell us.
Yeah, so it's another one of those ones. This one's a lot more simple, but it's another one of those ones that's like, wow, that's really how that happened type mentality. So, like I said, my ex-wife and I, we were just, you know, we had a lot of great memories and a lot of great things, but we struggled on and off basically our whole marriage, and we were married 15 years. And in 2019, the height of everything I've accomplished was happening. I had a song on the radio at the time. I'd just gotten back from the Armed Forces Entertainment Tour. I was CMA Emerging Artist that year. I'm being invited to Hall of Fame inductions. I'm basically, everything's happening, right? And at that time, I was still like a one-man band. I was my own manager. I was my own booking agent. I was everything. I was the songwriter. I was the producer. I was the bus driver at times. By that point in time, I was hiring them. But I remember when I got my first bus, I literally drove it from North Carolina to a show in Daytona Beach, left Daytona Beach, drove it to New Orleans. And I was the one setting up the sound, doing sound check, performing, doing meet and greets afterwards, networking because it was for a TV show. Like, I was doing everything because I just wanted it so bad. And I was just grinding it out. So anyway, I'm this one man band per se with all this success starting to happen, and come home. And my ex-wife at that time was just like, hey, you know, like, I love you and I love our kids, but I really can't do this anymore. And so we officially split, you know, that time for final. That was in June. And I remember the next month. So I still don't live in Nashville. And the irony, we were just at CRS and everyone thinks I live in Nashville. my work ethic or whatever it is has always been like, if you need me there, like, tomorrow, then I'll just go. Like, if somebody texts me right now, I was like, hey, I got a 10 a.m. that I think you should be at. I'm like, cool, I'll see y'all in a little while. And that's just what I did. And I did that every month. Was always my thing, was if I didn't have anything planned, I was still going. And I would go for a week every single month, and I would find somewhere to meet or somebody to talk to. And so that first month, I didn't go. I couldn't look at my kids and leave. So that was the beginning of becoming a single father and trying to figure out, thank God I have a wonderful family, and obviously their mother still, you know, chipped away and did her part too. But it was just like, I'm single dad with the kids at home, and I just couldn't pull away. And so at that time we were real radio oriented. We had a song on the radio, and I just remember calling the team that I hired, and I was like, hey, you know, I know this is horrible, but I'm not going next week. I can't do that. And I personally reached out to all the program directors that were on the schedule for that week. And I'm like, I don't know when I will be back, and please don't be upset at me, but I'm not leaving my kids. And at that point there was no, I didn't think I was going to step away from music. I just knew I needed time. Yeah. And let the kids, which I needed to heal too, but I needed to really focus on the kids. They were 14 and 15 at the time. My son was 14. My daughter was 15. She turned 16 that July. So it's like, all this is happening. And then as the months went on, it was like yet again another month where I'm like, well, I really don't think I can go to Nashville this month. And I did a show, I headlined Freiburg Fair, I think it was in October. And I was like, okay, I think I'm back. And that's like the same month the divorce was final. And in January, I did country cruising. And I was like, then I'm like, okay, I'm good. I'm back. And I went to CRS, like whatever, 3 weeks later, same thing. I'm like, I'm back. I'm good. I can survive this. And my kids are championing me and my family's championing me. And I'm like, okay, we're good. And then a month later, COVID started. And yeah. So when COVID started, it's like, okay, what do I do now? Like, I'm not at the top. I don't have a team. I don't have the finances to do it. So I don't know, maybe a month after that, I'm like, oh, well, I better start working again. And I started working in a tow truck in my hometown. And then a year after that, my dad got really sick and passed away and at 62. And so then, and my daughter was up at MTSU in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. I just moved her off to college. And then my son was about to be a senior in high school, and he was a really gifted football player. And I'm running a booster club and doing a lot of community stuff. And I'm like, everything's just stacked where I'm like, I can't leave what I'm doing. So I was writing songs the whole time, and I was staying in touch with my friends and network in Nashville. And I was just like, you know, they're all championing me. And I'm like, hey, I got this. I just got to finish this first. So, last year, sorry, 2024, I moved my son in early. He got a scholarship to play football at Marshall University. And I moved him in on January the 5th. I hung out with him for 3 days. And on January the 8th, I'm flying back. And I'm like, what am I going to do? And I was like, I'm going back to music. So I booked my first show in years. So 4 years went by like that. And I booked my first show. And I met my now very amazing. I hate calling her girlfriend because I just feel like we're true life mates. But she's also my day-to-day manager. And a good champion of mine. She's a successful businesswoman, so she's brought a lot of business sense to what I do because I'm a horrible businessman. Great creator, but a horrible businessman. And then we just started chipping away at it last year, and I started writing more. And then it's like, okay, well, I really can do this, and the story makes more sense now, if that makes any sense. Like, it's like, yeah. Now it's like, I'm not trying to be, even my party songs, like I'm not trying to be the party guy. Like, I just want to share what God gave me, and it may or may not be music. It may be a story. It may be maybe hard love. It may be a motivational speech. I don't know, but I'm just a lot more willing to not chase fans, and no offense to anybody that becomes a fan, cause I want them. But I'm not chasing as much anymore. Now I'm just kind of living and sharing in the process. And that comes from a very, very real, like, again, very cliche word, but a very organic vulnerability. So I ultimately believe that the greatest teacher is vulnerability, and you have to be vulnerable in order to accomplish great things. And that, again, it kind of goes back to my music. You know, part of the reason why the music's all over the place comes from the vulnerability of understanding that I am all over the place, right? So it's like being willing to not say, well, like, this is exactly who I am, because who I am today is honestly not who I am going to be tomorrow. And I'm not afraid to share that anymore. Like, I'm not the same person tomorrow as I was today, because I lived something different today. I talked to you guys and I learned something about you, or I learned something about myself. And I just want to be the guy that is willing to live that vulnerable and just share that.
That is, I love that thinking about, yeah, you are different every day, because every day is different.
Yep.
And every day you wake up and something goes right or something goes wrong, and and how we accept that challenge
from it.
Yeah. Learn from it.
But, yeah.
So I want to ask, coming up this year, what kind of things are you looking forward to? What can we look forward to from Clark Hill and all things music from you?
So I think the biggest thing is the new music. I don't want to share too much right now, because some of it, I don't really know how much is going to happen. But I think we're going to see, you know, we had a really good meeting. I'm in development with WME now, and I've always wanted to tour more than anything. I just want to get in front of new fans. And so I have the blessing of my agent being one of the partners in the company. He's been with them for 35 years, and I've known him now for 8 years. And we've built this relationship, started with a business meeting. So it wasn't personal first, but I turn everything into personal. I just do. And we built an 8-year relationship. And the first time he ever heard me sing live was last year. And when he finally saw it live, he's been helping the whole time. But when he finally saw it, he's like, okay, I get it. But now we got to figure out how to package this. Right. So now I'm in this like business phase of, how do we package? What is it so unique about what I do? What is Clark doing that is different than everyone else, right? And so a lot of this year was centered on getting music out so that we had something to package, because it's really hard to just package a story and point people to music because we live in a short, you know, format right now.
Yes.
Like when I heard we were doing an hour, I'm like, oh, that's so much better than 5 minutes, right? Because it's like, obviously I talk a lot and it's like, there's so many stories. I'm like, what are we going to do? You give me an hour. I'm like, well, we could do two, we could do five. I don't care. And so Barry has been really instrumental behind the scenes. And I mean, not that I can't say his name. What I'm saying is like behind the scenes, he's such a great human that understands that what's different about me is that I'm not going to be able to chase trends, because once I chase trends is like you lose that true nature of what's unique or special about me. So there's a lot that we have to kind of figure out, and we're figuring out as we go. So his thing is like, he's like, let's not push you into all these shows yet. He's like, let's develop that. And he's like, but developing it is sharing it, right? So he's like, I want you to put more music out. Like, that's a trend we can chase. Put music out as much as you want. Put it out as much as you can. So basically, I think that's the most exciting part about this year is we're going to do this, but there actually is a reason why we're doing it. We're doing it because we want to kind of figure out what is the path that kind of draws to me the most, because right now we don't know. We have great insights in our like socials and in everything we do, and we have an insane amount of retention when it comes to live shows, but no one on the team can tell you why yet. And that's... So for me, like when I'm in big meetings, I'll sit there and like, as you can tell, I'm like a take charge guy. So I was like, I was in a meeting recently that I really probably shouldn't have been in. Like I've been in some really cool places. Okay. And I'm like looking around this room, I'm like, these are some of the most powerful people in the entertainment industry, not just in country music. And here I am at the head of the table, like literally just taking command, like the butthole that I am, you know? And I'm like, I'm finally sitting there. I'm like, that is what's unique, right? That's what's special is that I'm if it fails, it just fails, but I'm going to fail as me. Like I just am. And this year is going to be really fun because the music's telling some of that story and it's telling it a piece at a time. And we've got a unique way that we're releasing it. We're releasing it on kind of the new standard of time where the goal is 6 to 8 weeks. We release the song every 6 to 8 weeks. We have them all done. We have them ready. But I wanted to tell a story with these songs, but the story won't be known until the songs are done. It was kind of my goal. And I remember my team, some of my team was like, man, I don't know. And I'm like, listen, just let's try it. I'm like, what's it hurt? I'm like, let fans get to like, maybe fans like me because they like the fun of Hell of a Heartbeat. Right. And then the next song that comes out when it hits, and I can share what that one is right now, but when it hits, it's going to be, whoa, that's not what I expected. It's a different side. But all of that's kind of to try to tease little parts of who I am to ultimately get people in for the long term. Mm-hmm. Where ideally I build, I hate saying fan base. I really like to say family because I grew up in a big family and I just want more. I want, you know, we're at, what are we, 8 billion people in the world? I would love 8 billion family members, right? So I want them in, but you can't do that in that short form, you know, context. And the reality is that family's not always going to like everything you do, whether they tell you or not. So I wanted to build a fan base or a family that even if they don't like the next song, they're ready for the one after because they think they're going to like that one. And so that's what's unique about this year. And any bookings that we do off of that are going to be in a similar mindset. It's like, is this the place that we know I belong, right? Is this where, you know, first for me is this is where God wants me. And then second is like, what are we doing the show for, right? Like, I don't do this for money and I don't do it for fame. So just because you offer a big paycheck, I don't think I'm going to say yes to the show all the time anymore. And I used to just like every show I could play. So I think this year is going to be fun to watch, even for me, fun to watch. And I truly think that fans are going to enjoy that too, because it's just going to, you're going to see so much more develop. And then the goal of people seeing it almost in real time and watching that career arc change is super exciting, if you can't tell to me, because I think it opens up other opportunities. And we're looking at this just came up this week, but we're looking at the idea of maybe being involved in a brand new like TV show, basically, which has been pitched to me before about my life. But the cool thing about this is more on the idea of me hosting something and maybe bringing in artists and bringing in storytellers and just spreading a story like they did before my time. I'm such an old soul. I just miss how things used to be. And I think we can mix the two together. I think we can have modern technology and modern sounds and modern stories, and we can mix old soul with it and let the rest of the world connect to it.
Yeah. I hope so. I'm excited and like nervousy hearing you talk about it. All right.
Hey, listeners, Sisters in Song is brought to you by Pink Whisk Confections, our sponsor. Small batch scratch cookies, cheesecakes, and other desserts are available upon request. Custom orders for color and flavor are welcome anytime. Cookies are $15 for a box of 8 cookies and are individually packaged within the box. You can DM at Pink Whisk Confections on Instagram for placing all your orders. Make sure you use the code Sisters in Song Podcast for 5% off your first order. And you can also get these gluten-free. So anybody out there who has a gluten intolerance, you can ask for a special gluten-free order. Go check it out. I'm not kidding you. These are probably the best cookies you'll ever eat.
I know that this is making a comeback. Any plans for videos?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have two plans for videos. One of them is that our goal is one of the trends out of necessity that we'll kind of chase a little bit is making sure that we have content that's pushing every song. It's something I've never done until One Beer last year. I don't know if you guys watched the One Beer video or not, yes. But okay. So, oh my gosh. Like I love it. It was such a blast. And that was one of I had a great, great director. His name is Ben Oaks. So I'll probably use Ben forever. And he's like one of them guys that I want around me where it's like, even if another team is heading it up, I want him involved in the creative process. But we went in to One Beer and we just told, we had actors and like my people come with me because we wanted to fill this bar up. And we were like, I told him, I'm like, I just want it to feel like the song. Right. So the goal was to feel like we created that one in Muscle Shoals as well. So all the, at the end of One Beer, when you have all the voices singing, it was all of the musicians, the producer, the director, my girlfriend, Amy, my touring manager and security guy, Andy. Who else was in it? I mean, basically everyone that we could get our hands on, we're like, hey, come in here and just start singing this with us. They're like, what are we singing? I'm like, it doesn't matter, just sing. And we wanted the video to have that same kind of idea. It was like, we wanted people to feel like they're in it, but we did little things. Like if you stuck around and saw the ending to it. So when you go watch it, like, I don't know if this camera actually shows you guys who I'm looking at. But like, I just realized how awkward that was.
Stop.
No, if you stick around for the end of it, it was like, I wanted this idea of like, well, what happens after you have a night like that? Right. And so I'm always teasing those things. So like, I have a lot of goals when budget permits to do, I would love to do a video for every song. I don't think I'll be able to afford that yet in my career, but probably the next song, actually, if we can fit it in budget and time wise, is a really cool video opportunity to share a story and share something unique. So I think you'll see a lot more video content, honestly. And as my career grows, I think that's something that I will probably push really hard, is just to have these really thought out, you know, videos that tell the story how I saw it in my head.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, with One Beer, I was going to say, that's what made me ask you, like, are there going to be more videos? So that's exciting.
Yeah, because that's a thing that's making a comeback now with YouTube being so popular. Yeah. I think a lot of artists are getting into that. And I love it because I was amazing.
We were like, video kids. Yeah.
Video addicts.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so
I mean, think like the 90s. I mean, I know it was happening before then, but the 90s was such a day with all music that videos were just everything. I mean, that's ultimately how you kind of found out about a song, right? Yes. You saw it on, you know, CMT or VH1 and MTV. And I mean, I grew up watching VH1 more than anything. Like I hear a lot of people MTV, but I was a VH1 baby. So like, I love the whole classic stuff.
Better too, because they didn't go to all those shows right away.
Yeah.
They actually showed videos way longer than MTV did.
Yep. Well, I'll tell you my secret to One Beer, by the way, and then we can move on. But it's the same thing that will happen probably in every video is that the director, but also the actors, our teams, everybody, I said, I want it to feel like visually or optically, I want it to feel like you're there, right? So you, next time you watch it, and when you watch it, that you'll probably notice that now. It's like the whole goal is it to feel like you were in the room. But I wanted the vibe to accomplish that when it ended, you were like, man, I wish I would have been there when they filmed that. Right. And so that's kind of like a lot of my goal is that contrast of giving people both emotions at the same time. I feel like that's a really cool way to get to people's spirit.
Well, so exciting that you have lots more new music coming out this year. So things to look forward to for us and our listeners.
Yep.
And we are going to now put you through our rapid fire. Which is not hard at all. It's just we're going to rapid fire some questions at you.
All right. You want to start this time?
Sure.
All right.
Okay. Coffee or tea?
Sweet tea.
Okay. All right. Vinyl, cassette, CD, or streaming?
Oh, CD.
First album you ever bought?
Boys to Men. I don't remember which one it was. It was the second. It was Volume 2, I think, is what it was called. But Boys
Oh.
to Men, the blue and black one.
Okay. Okay, what is your go-to karaoke song if you have one?
I hate karaoke, but when I do sing karaoke, it will be Michael Bublé.
Fun.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel.
Oh.
I don't even remember what it's called. Yeah.
It's
I can't think of
New Day?
I can't
Yeah,
New
it's a
Day.
new
That's
day.
called New
It's
Day.
a new eye. Yeah. Oh,
Well,
me.
writing your music at night, afternoon, or morning, typically.
Probably night.
Do you write your lyrics on paper, phone notes, or voice memos?
Phone notes primarily, but I love writing written notes.
Yes.
Written songs are great.
We do too.
Yes. Okay, what's
Yeah.
your pre-show pump-up song?
For the last year, it's probably been, I know it's rapid fire, but it's three. Okay. I always have to have
Oh,
I
you
Need You
three
by
by.
Lynyrd Skynyrd. I always have to have I Need You by Lynyrd Skynyrd. My dad was a huge Lynyrd Skynyrd guy, and so was I. And then Florida Georgia Line, People Back Home. I love the story and I love the vibe. And then my last song before my band intro is Luke Combs Doing This.
Very
Love it.
cool.
I'm going to ask an extra question about that in a minute,
Okay.
but
Dogs, cats, fish, birds, reptile, or pet?
dogs, dogs.
Steve had a
We're
dog
dogs.
back
I
then.
know, I saw a dog running around. I was like, dog.
She's being bad right now.
Uh-oh. Mine are always bad, so I get it. Describe your sound in three words.
Undescribable, heartfelt, passionate.
Love it. Okay, what advice would you give to new musicians or songwriters?
Never give up on anything.
But and it seems like that is you to a T, so
Yes, that's perfect. Perfect. Okay,
Absolutely.
so now we're going to ask you to share a song with us. Tell us about the song and tell us the name and what how it came to be.
Let's go with the next, like the next release. The
Right.
next release is going to be called Pray for Rain. So I Pray for Rain is a very scary and a very special song to share. And we chose to share it next because on Father's Day, we also have a really big release. Or right before Father's Day, we're going to release a song called Daddy's Words that I wrote for my dad right after he passed away. And Daddy's Words, I know I'm giving you two songs, but Daddy's Words is such an amazing song. I mean, we could pick it apart lyrically because I'm the only writer on it. I mean, I'm sure it's not perfectly written, but it's real. But it's also very relatable because I didn't like go into specifics about everything about my dad. And it has probably for me, I'm not really a catchy chorus guy. I love catchy choruses. I've just never written like the most catchy chorus in the world. And it's probably my most catchy, even though it's a heartfelt, like basically almost like a love song to my dad. But we knew that it needed kind of a primer. And we were back and forth on the primer. And I'd written this song a while back, another song I wrote entirely by myself called Pray for Rain. And it was more bluesy. I grew up on a lot of blues music. And I did not realize, sorry, I get emotional when I think about these kind of, I didn't realize how important Pray for Rain was for me because it's probably even more than Daddy's Words. It's even though it's simple, there's not a lot of lyrics to it. It's probably the closest thing to telling my story right now. It's like I'm writing a book right now, and I talk a lot about in the book about this idea of being like oversensitized and having this kind of storm out in front of me. And I'm teasing something I probably shouldn't tease right now, but basically I'm like that the colorful depiction I tried to give, a reader in this book was that there's this huge storm off in the distance, and I was standing in the sand at the basically a beach, and I can't feel the sand in my toes, and I can't smell the air, and I can't hear the thunder, but I can see the lightning, and I can't feel the wind, but I can see the waves moving, right? And that analogy to me that I came up with was that the only way I could ever feel those things, to feel that love, to feel that, to me, physical, like my love language is physical touch and words of affirmation, right? So to get those, to get that feeling, I needed those senses. And the only way you could get those senses for me in my life was to walk into the storm instead of run away from it,
Yeah.
which is counterintuitive to everything we're ever taught, right? You're always taught to run from a storm. And I'm just not that. the storm. I didn't ask for a lot of my life storms, and I just found that God's love and God's gift for me was in the storm. And pray for rain, even though that when I wrote it was not meant to be tied to that. Like, I've been writing my book for 2 years. When I wrote Pray for Rain a few months ago, I just was writing a cool blues song, and it just sounded cool. And when we were in the studio, the guys were like, man, what was that song? And I'm like, I don't know. It's just one I did. And then I've listened to it, and I became a fan of my own song. And how it came to be, I think, was a very much a God thing. And I think it sets up, I don't know how many people hear it. I really hope the whole world hears it, but I think it really sets up what I'm doing probably more than anything else that I could set it up with. And it's also the most like daring and out of the box, because in the studio, I was like kind of babying it. And I remember our producer being like, hey, Clark, man, what are you doing? I can hear you thinking. And I was like, what? And he's like, well, what do you want to do with this song? And I'll never forget it. Like, I literally was like, just in the microphone, I'm like, Josh, I just like what I want to do. I don't think I can sing. And he was like, well, we can delete it. Try it. So I really, really like went out vocally and really was vulnerable in it. And we knocked that song out in one take, and it's by far my best vocal performance. And I'm not saying that it's the best in the world, it's not, because I'm not that great of a singer, but it's just like, I love that song so much. And I'm so excited to share it with people. And I hope millions and millions of people listen to it. But I think I need to remember to be vulnerable and understand if 5 people listen to it and it changes one life, then I'll be happy with it.
I can't wait to hear it.
Same.
Thank you for sharing it.
I've been waiting on the rain. I just sit here and think to myself, maybe the thunder will bring it my way, but maybe not. Maybe God says not. Maybe he has something else planned, something someday that I'll understand. Why the rain feels this way, why the rush of the wind on my face seems to wash away all of the pain, why the flash of the lightning in the dark of the night, why it brings back everything. That's why I pray for rain. Oh, I hate that the storms don't last. Call me crazy, crazy if it's too much to ask for a little more downpour on me. 'Cause in my mind, it's easy to see why the rain feels this way, why the rush of the wind on my face seems to wash away all of my pain, why the flash of the lightning in the dark of the night, why it brings back everything. That's why thank you. touch of the wind on my face seems to wash away all of my pain. Why the flash of the lightning in the dark of the night? Why it brings back everything? That's why I pray for rain.
Okay, it's time for your shameless plug. Where can we find your music, your website, social media?
Do you have Bandcamp?
Patreon, Bandcamp, all the things.
Yeah, all of those things.
Yeah, so a website is clarkhillmusic.com. All my socials are Clark Hill Music. Really easy. And you mentioned earlier about YouTube. Our goal is to make a little bit more of a YouTube push this year as well. As you can tell, I like long form better. I like this. So our goal is actually more into that this year as well. So I would definitely... I definitely tell people to follow the YouTube page, although I'm not doing it yet. It's something that's really important to me to just keep sharing and do a lot more. And then obviously Spotify and Apple Music and all those things, but everything's Clark Hill Music. It's really easy.
Very cool. We have been so thrilled to have you.
Yes. This has been
thank you.
Most fun.
Yes. I love it so much. It's like talking with a friend.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. It means a lot.
What a genuine guy. He was just really humble, down to earth, really, man, a go-getter. Like,
I love that he just knows who he is. Yep. And he wants to put his genuine self out there too.
Me too.
He kept coming back to the vulnerability. And I think that that is so important in, you know, the way that music and the music industry works right now is to just by being yourself and
is
not
how
giving
you stand
up.
Out.
Yeah. That's how people notice you. And so I think it was such a neat conversation to have with him. And I really did feel like
we were just talking to family
conversation.
Yeah,
yes.
It was great.
So thanks for letting us into your family, Clark. It has been amazing to meet you and we appreciate your time and we will see you down the road.
Thanks for listening to Sisters in Song. Follow us on all social media platforms at Sisters in Song Podcast. And follow us wherever you stream your podcasts. If you like our show, please like and follow us on all of your social media. Please feel free to share.